The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys, and then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right. I'm exhausted just listening to that intro. Welcome to a Tuesday. That was Boca Brittany Summers. So as she said, I am Nicole Sandler. We come to you live at NicoleSandler.com, the Progressive Voices Network, and, a lot of other ways to watch or listen. However you choose to, we try to make it easy for you, whether you listen live or watch live or listen on the podcast. So many different ways to do it, and there is no paywall here. Though we do appreciate your donations and support of the program because, that's what pays my bills. If you think you want a little something extra because this fantastic show 5 days a week is not enough, I'll paint a picture for you. I'll paint a portrait of your pet or something else. You can see a collection of my works behind me. And I now have a website. It's at paintyourpets.net. That simple, paintyourpets.net. And I need to upload more works that are available for purchase there, but that'll give you all the information I think that you need to know if you wanted a pet portrait. All right, so on to business. Yesterday, thank you for bearing with me yesterday. 4 years since a mass shooting usually doesn't even warrant a mention in most newscasts. That's why I felt, because this is my community where this happened, that I should deal with it yesterday. Because I know around here, we all felt it. Whether we said anything about it, this area, which is, borders on Parkland, it's our sister community, we do feel the effects of it, even 4 years later. When there's a mass shooting, when so many people die, so many people are injured in a senseless event like this, I had to. And so I wasn't surprised later in the day as I was doing my regular journeys through the media that I really didn't see much mention of it. And it's because of that I have to single out Mehdi Hasan. Mehdi Hasan, I've been a fan of since I first saw him a few years ago. I would read his stuff at The Intercept. I would see him occasionally on TV. And then, he was picked up by MSNBC to do a weekend show. And I'm like, yes, the more I watch him, the more impressed I am with him. He just is good because he tells the truth. He's obviously a progressive. He's one of us. And he doesn't mince words. He says what he thinks. And I usually agree with him. And sure enough, last night, he's on MSNBC on Sunday evenings, and he's filling in quite a bit, for the 11 o'clock hour, which will be taken over by Stephanie Ruhle, and the 9 o'clock hour, where Rachel Maddow is on hiatus now for a couple of months. So hopefully he'll get more of those fill-in slots. But in the meantime, you can watch him Monday through Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern on, it's hard to find. He streams on the Peacock channel, which is, it's the NBC streaming service. But to find him, they have this channel hidden. I think they call it The Choice or something. You have to go up at the top of the page. There's like channels, then browse, then TV shows, movies, documentaries, news, whatever. Go all the way to the left where it says channels, and it's like a TV guide, live TV menu. And they have the NBC News Now service. They have the Olympic channel. Then they have like a Dateline channel. Then they have some old sitcoms and other things. And you keep on scrolling down, and eventually you'll come upon The Choice, which at 7 p.m. Eastern is Mehdi Hasan. Now, if you go too early, I have to warn you, Zerlina Maxwell does a show from 6 to 7, And to my ears, she's unlistenable. You know, I know Zerlina. I met her probably 10 years ago when we were both DFA scholars at Netroots Nation. We both won, because people voted for us, a scholarship. So it was paid for, and it was through Democracy for America. So we were in this class together, and we were friendly. I liked her a lot. But, you know, look, I come from radio, so this is what I do, and I listen with a very critical ear. Her voice to me is like fingernails on a blackboard. And I remember hearing her when she first showed up on XM, and I called trying to be helpful, and I told the screener, she needs to get some vocal coaching. She needs to get her voice out of her nose and bring it down into her diaphragm. Because she's so nasal that I just can't listen to her. I don't know what she's saying because I'm distracted by her voice. So, it's just me. Then again, you know what? Zerlina, pick one job, okay? She's got at least three that I know of. And there are other people who need jobs. So she's the director of progressive programming for SiriusXM. That alone I don't get. Because she doesn't have a radio background. She hosted a show for them, but really? And then she's got this TV gig, and then she's an MSNBC contributor. That's three different paychecks. Like, give one or two of them up and share the wealth, okay? All right, that's my snarky comment of the day. Sorry about that. But then Mehdi Hasan comes on at 7 o'clock. And his show is great. But then they sometimes repeat Zerlina after him, at which time I rush to the TV to turn it off just because of the fingernails on the blackboard thing. All right. That's Catty Nicole. Meow. Okay. So anyway, so yesterday, the reason I got on the subject, Mehdi Hasan last night, sure enough, it was almost as if he listened to this show yesterday, because he talked about Manuel Oliver, the father of Joaquin Guac Oliver, who was in Washington, D.C. and climbed up on that crane outside the White House and unfurled a big banner calling on Joe Biden to do something already, right? He was arrested for his troubles, by the way. Yesterday, he was released without charges, so that's good to know. But Mehdi also had Cameron Caskey on, who was one of the kids, one of the survivors from the Parkland massacre, who went on to help, who was one of the kids who was out in front making so much noise. And my God, he was so good. You know, he's now 4 years older and 4 years wiser and sounded pretty damn discouraged, which is sad because these kids, they were going to change the world. And they believed it, too. You know, they believed it. What he said was, you know, we met with Joe Biden. We met with presidents who told us we were going to save the world. We were going to change the world, not save the world, maybe, but change the world. He said, and nothing has been done. You know what? I should have pulled the audio from it because it was a great interview. Maybe I'll pull it for later in the week if I can find it. But Mehdi Hasan even mentioned the event that we talked about from last June that Manuel Oliver produced as like a stunt through this group that he formed, changetheref.org. I mentioned it yesterday, but I want to stress it again because he's doing a lot of these guerrilla type actions. Like, you know, having a mock graduation with over 3,000 empty chairs and getting two former NRA executives to deliver their speech that they are allegedly going to deliver to these graduates the following day, but to do it all in front of this sea of empty chairs. And the reason they were empty is because that's how many were killed by gun violence. So he called it the lost class. Because they will never graduate. This was this stunt. When I first heard of it back in June, the day that they released the video, the day that Manuel Oliver came on the show to talk about it, I was blown away because that's the kind of creative protest, creative activism that we need. That's the kind of creative activism that I learned about from the Yes Men. And so if we go back like a decade, if you go on my website at NicoleSandler.com, there's a search bar. It's like in the upper right-hand corner. I know sometimes it's hard to see, but it's there. If you type in the Yes Men, it'll bring up a number of entries. Because back in the Air America days, that's when I first met the Yes Men. I first learned of the Yes Men. And I was instantly enamored because they did this creative kind of political street theater, because they used humor and balls to do their thing. So I'm going to play for you a clip. I mean, last night, knowing that at least Andy Bichelbaum, one of the two Yes Men, is going to join us today because they got something new a brewing. It had been a while. You know, because they've been, I don't know if they've been just out of commission, if they've been resting, or if they've been quietly doing the work of the Yes Lab. They set up the Yes Lab probably a decade ago to help train others to do what they did so successfully. And, you know, well, I'll give you a little rundown after I play this video. So this video is, it goes into detail on one of the many stunts they did. This is one of the later ones. And actually, I remember this so clearly. I want to say it was 2011, but don't quote me on that. I could be really wrong. And what they are known to have done is they put on press conferences. They do events, claiming to be representatives of a particular industry or a group. Like in this case, it's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They actually set up a room that looked like it was part of the press club to do a press conference. One of the Yes Men posed as a representative from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And a lot of media showed up in this room. And the idea was to do, well, you'll hear what they were telling the gathered press, that a big sea change in what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was going to support when it comes to dealing with climate change. Now, the Yes Men, they have done actions on many, many different organizations, different causes. But I really believe the cause near and dear to them, the one that they seem to go the furthest on, all have to do with climate change. And they've been at this for a pretty long time. So again, this is an excerpt from the film, The Yes Men Are Revolting. There are three Yes Men films out. So like last night, I went looking for one thinking it's been a while since I've spoken to them. I need to refresh my memory. So the first movie was The Yes Men. That was back in like, I want to say 2005 or 6. The second one was around 2009, and that was The Yes Men Fix the World. And then the third one, I think the final one came out, I want to say 2014 or thereabouts, and it was called The Yes Men Are Revolting. And to see the double meaning there is why I love them. All right, so I'm just going to play this clip for you. If I need to pause it at any point to explain anything, I will. But as they say, Bill, let's go to the video clip. It's this rough cut from The Yes Men Are Revolting. And now you see Andy Bichelbaum.
We to make a oh, there we go. Here point we go. About an organization that's pulling off some of the world's biggest hoaxes.
That's
no,
the White House.
Not this organization.
Not the White House.
The one across the street. The one that looks like a U.S. government office, but really is working against the government.
Chamber of Commerce.
In reality, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is a large corporation that is reported to lie to the public on behalf of even bigger corporations. They spend nearly $500,000 a day trying to convince the U.S. government to do really stupid shit, like killing environmental regulations and undermining workers' rights. But since they spend so much money on their hoaxes, many people believe them.
And as it says, American free enterprise dream big, but their dreams are our nightmares because their plans are to prevent us from passing climate change legislation, which means we're screwed.
Now that's Mike Bonanno. He's one of the yes men.
Since the chamber was hoaxing us all, we decided to fight fire with fire. We would reveal one of their biggest lies by masquerading as them.
Uh-oh. That's Andy Bicklebaum, who's joining us today.
As the chamber at the National Press Club, how would the world react to the chamber suddenly reversing its position on climate change?
Ooh.
But a reversal on climate change from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It will reverse its position on the climate change bill and wants a carbon tax, if you will. All right, so
this guy, this is a Fox guy. I don't know his name because I don't watch Fox.
All right, so maybe not. Apparently it was a hoax. Either there is a group or some people or a person.
Is there any involvement of the White House whatsoever?
I couldn't even begin to go there, Larry. This is the item we got. It has the chamber's logo that we're all very familiar with.
Today, the country's largest business lobby, the Chamber of Commerce, got punked. It began early this morning when a press release went out, purportedly from the United States Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
Amazingly, the release said that the chamber would now support this legislation that it spent months fighting against. Reporters were surprised and probably confused at this odd turn of events, but that was nothing compared to what actually happened at the press conference when it was held later on this morning. Watch this tape.
Okay.
Clean coal is a technology that has not only not been proven, it basically doesn't exist.
Again, okay, speaking
is
Andy Bicklebaum.
Along with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-oh. Somebody just walked in the room.
This is not an official U.S. Chamber of Commerce event. So I don't know what pretenses you're here. I know some of you in the press world. But this is a fraudulent press activity and a stunt.
And a stunt?
Really, sir?
That's Andy Bicklebaum saying, who are you really?
I do. We can discuss afterwards.
Okay. Can I see your business card?
Can I see yours?
Are you here representing the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I work there, and you do not look familiar to me at all.
Could I see your business card?
Could I see your business card?
Yes, I am. And, this guy does not represent the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, boy.
Can we finish the
No. This is not an official Chamber of Commerce. This is not... what is your position?
The reporters are all like, what?
I just spoke my position.
What is your title and your official title at the U.S. Chamber?
I'm the assistant to Mr. Donahue.
Okay. This guy is a fraud. He's lying. This is, you know, a stunt that I've never seen before. So if you'd like to actually talk to the legitimate Chamber of Commerce, I've got my business cards outside. This gentleman, I will assure you, does not have any business cards, and he's not legitimate.
Show me your business card. No, show me yours. No, show me yours.
Yeah, they both look like imposters. What?
It's just, you got a business card?
It's so weird, though.
But you don't look familiar.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says it was victimized.
Victims of a hoax by environmental activists.
A hoax actually led to the chamber admitting that there is a challenge for climate change. It seems like a good first step.
Look
so next
that.
Up, hoax is about poverty, violence,
education.
Hunger.
The big education hoax. We've got a big education hoax in this
country. The hoax is a good first step.
Yeah.
Just today, the Chamber of Commerce changed positions, not courtesy of the yes men with that stunt in Washington a few weeks ago. But they're now saying, surprisingly to me, and I'm glad about it, that they want to get legislation, and they're now working with the sponsors of the bill.
Go figure. Support the yes men are revolting on Kickstarter. So that was a video they put out to promote, to raise money for the movie, which has now been out for close to 10 years. So it's time for the next chapter of the Yes Men, don't you think? Pretty incredible, right? Now, if you're not familiar with the Yes Men, perhaps you're a little surprised by that. There's another one. God, you know, there are so much I want to play, and Andy will be along not for another 10 minutes or so. So I probably started on this a little too early, but I wanted to let you know what's happening because I'm excited about it. So let me tell you some of the things that the Yes Men have done. Okay, the first film, The Yes Men, came out in 2003. So that's how long they've been at this. It's the two guys. It's Andy Bichelbaum, who in that clip was playing the representative from the Chamber of Commerce. When they do these things, they go all out. They mock up websites and press releases. They use the actual logos. You could see they did that event at the National Press Club because these guys have massive balls. They just have, they must be the size of Texas, I got to tell you. So it's Andy Bichelbaum and Mike Bonanno, although they're known to go by other names like Jacques Servin and Igor Vamos. Those were the original names. And in fact, if you go to Wikipedia and look up the Yes Man, it tells you that the Yes Men are a culture-jamming activist duo and network of supporters created by Jacques Servin and Igor Vamos. Those people don't exist. But you get the idea, right? So this is what they do. Then they did the first movie. Then in 2009, they did the Yes Men Fix the World to show some of the other stunts they've done. And I hesitate to call them stunts because these are actions. These are activist actions that in many cases can change the world. I'll never forget, I think it was back in the Air America days, when they mocked up a website for, I want to say GE. And you know, the website isn't there anymore, but they've done these things. I'm just going to go through, because I can, the Wikipedia page and tell you some of the stunts that they have detailed here. Let's see. George W. Bush, one of the Yes Men's first pranks was the satirical website gwbush.com. It is established for the presidential election to draw attention to alleged hypocrisies on Bush's actual website. When asked about the site in a press conference on May 21st, 99, Bush responded that the website had gone too far in criticizing him. Oh. In 2004, they went on tour posing as the group Yes, Bush Can, and encouraged supporters to sign a Patriot Pledge, agreeing to keep nuclear waste in their backyards and send their children off to war. They appeared at the 2004 Republican National Convention and drove across the country, at first in an RV with a George W. Bush body wrap and then in a painted van. Okay, so they were very rough back then at the beginning. Then, as part of the Bush-Cheney campaign, they posed as campaign workers carrying around a petition asking for signatures to support global warming because America's competing countries will suffer while America only bears minor side effects. Again, it got bigger and bigger as they went on. On December 3rd, 2004, it was the 20th anniversary of the Bhopal disaster in India, Dow Chemical, right? Andy Bichelbaum appeared on BBC World as Jude Finestra, a Dow Chemical spokesman. Oy. And again, they take a position that, that they're not who they're supposed to be, right? The WTO, one of their most famous pranks, was placing a, quote, corrected World Trade Organization website at GATT.org. It stood for General Agreement on Tariffs and Change. The fake site began to receive real emails from confused visitors, including invitations to address various elite groups on behalf of the WTO, to which they responded as if they were the actual World Trade Organization. And as them, the Yes Men gave speeches encouraging corporations to buy votes directly from citizens. Then they unveiled this gold spandex bodysuit that they said would allow productivity to increase as managers would not have to oversee workers in person, but could keep track of them via images on an attached screen as well as implanted sensors. And these bodysuits, but God, are everywhere. I wish I had pulled more pictures and video. But if you watch the movies, The Yes Men Fix the World or The Yes Men Are Revolting, you'll see it. Because Yes Men Are Revolting opens in a scene where they're all wearing these climate-changing survival suits. They look like big, they make you look like a big puffer fish. frankly. They're bizarre looking. But all that is out there. And these films, by the way, are free. You know, I went searching to see what streaming service they're on. And it turns out that at least the one I watched, which the Yes Men Are Revolting, is on Pluto, which is a free streaming service. They just run a commercial. And when I say a commercial, I believe it was an Allstate commercial. And it runs, you know, every few minutes. It's like one 30-second ad that breaks into the movie. The one ad runs and then it's back to the movie. So you can watch it with not much interruption. On today's the card, I do a graphic for each day. I'm going to put it up on the screen now. You'll see there are three newspapers, the front page of three newspapers shown. One is the Washington Post. Here, let me just bring this up by itself. The Washington Post, they did a mock version of the Washington Post, a mock edition that they handed out. They just gave away. And the headline was unprecedented. And basically, it says Trump hastily departs the White House, ending crisis. It was obviously a fake edition of the Washington Post signaling an end to the Trump presidency that he, you know, left with his tail between his legs. That didn't happen, but I can only imagine the commotion in Washington that day. In this photo, you see the two of them, I can make this bigger, I believe, holding up a copy of what appears to be the New York Post. And the headline simply reads, "We're screwed." I believe this was one of the climate change ones. But the one I remember the best was this New York Times mock-up. And they released like 100,000 copies of it or thereabouts. So it was mixed in with the actual edition that day. And people were reading it. People were like, and the stories in it, oh man, I got to see if I can pull up somewhere. I think it was just like one section, but every story was a complete reversal on climate change, strategy, like how to mitigate the effects of climate change. It was so brilliant. Obviously, they couldn't do this by themselves. There were a lot of people helping. So now what they're doing is introducing yet a new dimension. So instead of just the Yes Men, they are now promoting the introduction of the Metalverse. And hold on, I'm going to play this introductory message for you. So here the Yes Men are, some 20 years after they first appeared on the scene, doing these stunts, which are really political action in the best theatrical version of said action. And it's just quite brilliant. So Andy Bickelbaum, again, should be joining us in just a few minutes. Let me share with you this video. It's the introduction to the Metalverse. And this is Andy Bickelbaum. Metal, as in Meta, you know, the Facebook just renamed their company Metaverse. Well, this is the Metal, M-E-D-D-L-E, verse.
Yes, Men. We're best known for pulling off pranks against really bad targets. Today, we are relaunching as a group that not only pull off our own crazy pranks,
right,
but help others to do the same thing.
We are rebranding as Metal.
Metal!
Our new website forms a seamless link between your imagination and the reality we can get to through meddlesome actions. Won't you come in?
Okay. Ooh, they have a physical space like a museum.
Here is our homepage.
From here, you can easily find all our material.
It's theyesmen.org.
Correspondence, videos, press.
There's also this timeline.
It shows why we did what we did when we did it.
Ooh.
Let's go visit a section, say, talks.
Okay.
Where you can watch and read all the talks we've given to well-heeled thought leaders over the years. Like this one. We gave this talk to corporate leaders in Finland.
Ooh.
And demoed
oh, this
a special hip-mounted technology that lets CEOs in the wealthiest countries surveil workers via the metaverse. Uh-huh. There are 20 such talks here that you can read or view at your leisure. Let's now go check out some images.
Okay. Hey.
Like these dozens of viral images that destroyed Chevron's ad campaign.
They were doing memes now before there were memes.
This is our video page where you can watch all of our movies and shorts. You can watch at specific times, or you can watch on demand. Up to you.
Okay.
This page shows all the press our projects have gotten, as well as how we went about getting it.
Yeah.
And what purpose it served.
Okay.
We've definitely learned a few lessons. So if you want to get press using meddlesome tactics, we're here to help. This is what we call the three bodies part of our website.
Okay.
One of
these
bodies matters.
That's it.
That's why it's very protected. These bodies represent people who don't really matter as much, or matter only insofar as they make that body go. Cool, right?
Cool.
We want to help you accomplish your activist goals using outside-the-box techniques.
Yeah.
We also want to help you excite students about fighting fire with humor. If you're with an activist organization or school and you want our help, come to our website. Come to our Metalverse. You can visit either physically here at Carriage Trade in Lower Manhattan. Or online at www.theyesmen.org. Also, check out our new guidebook coming out spring 2023 from OR Books.
The Metalverse. To acquire this video as an NFT of your very own, visit theyesmen.org/NFT. I guess we're going to have to ask them about the non-fungible tokens, because I still don't quite get that, but maybe they'll, you know, or he will explain. Andy, I just got an email. He says, joining momentarily, so Andy Bickelbaum will be here. But you saw, if you were watching the video, you saw in the video the suit. That's the suit. There's one more. I was hoping to have Andy on the line when I played this, but maybe I'll play it for you, and then he can explain what this is about. But this is just, it's just like a minute long, and it is the most absurd thing that I think I've ever seen. And, well, we'll work backwards from here, but you gotta see this. On the screen, when I pull it up in a second, there's, on the Chyron, it says, why were lobbyists, defense contractors, a general, and a congressional candidate doing a traditional Indian dance for renewable energy revolution at the Homeland Security Congress? Okay, that's what it says on the screen. I want you to watch this video, and then when we come back on the other side, I'll have Andy Bickelbaum explain how he got these people to do this. But here it is. This really happened.
Way out here.
That is Mike Bonanno right there with the funky headdress thing. Okay, so yeslab.org/second thanks. Well, that maybe explains something. Let's bring in Andy Bickelbaum, one of the aforementioned Yes Men. Hey, Andy, it is so good to see you again, or to see you, because I think the last time we spoke, we weren't doing a video thing. Hi. Yeah. Welcome to the show. You don't remember because you've spoken to a million people between then and now, but back in the Air America days, I used to call you all the time because I'd see a stunt you did and I knew it was you, and sure enough, it was you. I mean, one time, I think you built a General Electric spoof website and you put out press release. Was it GE? It might have been.
Yes, actually, yes, absolutely. We announced on behalf of GE that they were going to give back their tax refund. It was the year when they and a couple other companies paid no taxes.
Well,
whatsoever.
That's every year, but okay. But yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So, So it has been a few years since we heard from you. And I was thinking maybe you had just sort of, you know, stopped. But apparently you've been working all this time with the Yes Lab. You've been helping other people, other creative activists and groups do their actions. Yes, you've just been doing it a little more quietly.
Yeah, we got a big seed grant in 2019, early 2019, to experiment with ways to transmit our tricks to other activists. There was this philanthropist who I think I'm not supposed to name, who thought that we would, he wanted to see us sort of replicate and create maybe 200 new Yes Men every year, some fantastic number like that. Quite impossible, but we got to work and started helping little activist groups around the world do actions. It was sort of a period of experimentation. And by the end of it, which is about now, we figured out a few ways to help efficiently and sustainably for all concerned, and that's where we are now.
Well, so just you came in the middle of the video. I played a couple of things. One, I played the excerpt from the Yes Men Are Revolting. That was the Chamber of Commerce scene, which was just brilliant. I love the guy when the real Chamber of Commerce guy comes in. He's like, this is, I don't know what this is, but this is a hoax. I don't know who you are. Do you have a business card? And you're like, yeah. Do you have a business card? Right. It was just awesome.
Accident can be your best friend. You know, the unexpected can be your best friend. That's one of the lessons we've put up on our website.
Right.
We've learned again and again, but that was maybe the best example of it where we would never have thought to invent this guy and have him barge in on our conference, but he was just too good. He really made that action go from, you know, something that would have gotten some attention. Probably we'd sent out a press release and there was already a bit of fun confusion and reporters were sorting out what had happened. But then that guy made it into mainstream news and it was in heavy rotation all day because of that wonderful guy with a pencil behind his ear.
It's just great. Now the clip that I just played at the end when you came in, the energy dance party, the energy revolution dance party, this was in 2014. Your partner, Mike, was posing as some, what happened there? How did he get all of those people to get up and do this like Native Indian dance thing?
Yeah, well, we got ourselves invited by one of our, you know, little tricks, not rocket science, but we got ourselves invited to a Homeland Security conference, and we promised them the head of the Department of Energy. And these, you know, these conferences are scams. They basically use names to bring in other people, to bring in contractors who want to hobnob with the big names. And so promising them a big name is one way to get them to be excited.
Sure.
In spite of their best judgment, perhaps. So they got excited. We actually promised them Colin Powell coming to the
Now that
I remember, I forgot. We promised them Colin Powell, and instead, I showed up. This nobody from the Department of Energy.
Okay.
And, you know, they were kind of like, well, okay, you know, is Colin Powell coming? And we assured them he was. But that meanwhile, they had me.
Right.
And I was posing as like this guy from the Department of Energy. And Mike was there helping, and Gets Crazy Boy, who's an indigenous activist from Alberta, was the head of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And we were together announcing, to this collection of Homeland Security people that we were, embarking on a new path for America. This was, of course, during the, Obama administration.
Yes, this is 2014, right? 2013, 2014.
And so it was almost plausible. And we were pledging to convert the U.S. to entirely renewable.
100% renewables by, I think you said 2030 or something like that. And you were turning it all over to these Native Americans.
Yeah, we were going to site all the wind power installations and the solar power installations on Native land and let them recoup the profits as kind of reparations for the loss that had happened. and then we invited them to, lead the group of defense contractors in a celebration of renewable energy and Native dance, which they sort of had to go along with, and they got up and danced.
It was just hysterical. And, Andy, I remember all of this as it unfolded because I've been a big fan of yours. But last night, knowing you were coming on the show, I'm like, I should go back and watch one of the Yes Men movies again. So I pulled up the Yes Men Are Revolting, which is the most recent one. And I sat there and laughed my ass off. And I got to tell you something. These days, I'm a bit crazy. I don't laugh a whole lot because times are strange. Laughed out loud, hysterically, at many points throughout this. I should have been in bed like an hour already, and I couldn't. I just needed to watch the end of the movie. Even though I knew all this stuff, it was so wonderful because what you guys did and continue to do is real important activism. In most cases, dealing with climate change, which in the past 20 years has only become more intense, right? And you were doing things back almost 20 years ago that people maybe didn't, but now it's of an urgent nature. And I loved rewatching this. I remember so clearly the day you put out that bogus copy of the New York Times. Can you explain what went into that? Because this wasn't just a front page. This was a whole newspaper, and every story, one after another, was just a total reversal of where we are on climate change.
Yeah, that one, we published that. Well, we planned for it about 6 months before the election of 2008 that Obama won. And we planned on Obama winning. We had no idea what to do if he didn't. We had this paper designed for his victory. And what we wanted it to be was a kind of warning to progressive activists that they couldn't just get a president elected. They had to actually follow through and pressure that president to achieve what they wanted him to achieve, and that he couldn't do it without them, he or she, in this case, he. And so we, made this paper that had all the potential good news from 6 months into the future. And in each bit of good news, there was an explanation of what had gone into making that happen. Riots in the street, public pressure, various sorts, all sorts of things. And of course, the central headline was Iraq War Ends, which there was still a big Iraq war going on. And that, as well as all the other good news, the war ending, oil companies being nationalized, so that the profits would no longer go into the pockets of wealthy people, but into everybody's pockets, and also the public could then decide what to do with the oil in the ground, maybe leave it there, as is sane. There was all sorts of good news like that, and all of it had happened because of public pressure. It hadn't been Obama deciding to do it. It had been essentially an uprising. And that is how history changes in America. It's always been kinds of uprisings that have actually made, like FDR, Lyndon B. Johnson, these presidents that pushed through enormous packages that whose effects stay with us to this day, They didn't do it because they were good guys. They did it because they were pressured. They had to. They were forced, in FDR's case, by riots, literally people burning things down in the streets, fed up with the Great Depression, which had come out of the capitalist excesses of the 20s. And in LBJ's case, it was the civil rights struggle that was making life untenable, had made life untenenable for JFK. And when LBJ took office, he decided he was going to do something about it. And the pressure continued until he had done it.
I got to ask if you, obviously your influence is widespread. I did a piece yesterday. I live in South Florida. I live in a town called Coral Springs. We are right next door to Parkland, where the mass shooting was 4 years ago yesterday. Are you familiar with an event? It just reminded me of the Yes Men. One of the fathers, his name is Manuel Oliver. His son, Joaquin Guac, was killed in that massacre. He started an organization called Change the Ref. It's at changetheref.org. Are you familiar with this action he did in Las Vegas, the lost class?
Yes.
That
was so beautiful.
Was him. So he put on, in fact, let me play this video for anyone who didn't see it yesterday, and this is less than 2 minutes. But this is, when I saw this, I'm like, my first thought was, I wondered if he had worked with the Yes Men, because it was so... it was so evocative of what you do. So here's one of the three videos from that event, and I think you'll be suitably impressed. All right, so this is from The Lost Class.
Dr. John Lott is an economist, educator, and scholar. He has authored several books, including More Guns, Less Crime, often referred to as the Bible of the National Rifle Association. It is my privilege to introduce to you Dr. John Lott.
Congratulations. You all have made a new stage in life. You know, your school is named after James Madison, and he proposed what became the Second Amendment to the Constitution, that there's an individual right to people be able to keep guns for protection. Can you name me one place in the world, any place in the world, that's banned either all guns or all handguns, and seen murder rates go down? I can't find a single place like that.
911, what is your emergency?
I was just working in the Department of Justice. Gun control advocates and Democrats will fight you tooth and nail. They want to go and say we've stopped 3.5 million dangerous people.
Okay, is anybody injured?
Yes, a lot of blood. Please help, please.
I look at it as we've stopped 3.5 million law-abiding citizens who wanted to get a gun.
Are you in the school? Where are you in the school?
Well, on the first floor. They were shooting into my classroom.
Anyway, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You know, I'm sure all of you will have a very bright future ahead. Thank you very much.
And many of them could have been saved by a simple background check, it says on the screen. And that's how it ends. There are three videos like this. They had this man, John Lott, that author, and they had a guy who was the executive director of the NRA for 3 years, also giving a speech like that. They did it in front of these 3,000-plus empty chairs laid out on this empty field in Las Vegas. They were told it was the dress rehearsal. And they had all signed releases and everything so that they could be used. Is that, and those 3,044 empty seats were for kids who were killed in school shootings. That is worthy of a Yes Men Award, is it not?
Oh yeah, beyond. I mean, that was spectacular, and I was flabbergasted when I saw that back when it happened, and just thought it was the absolute best thing ever. Unbelievable. We had nothing to do with it,
right?
Obviously, but it was. You know, it was beyond something that we could imagine doing. And that's the, you know, this stuff is not, we've played with it a lot and done a lot of experiments and tried different ways of doing things, but there's so many other ways. And that's an amazing example that, you know, it would never have occurred to us to do that. This stuff is old too. I mean, there's a tradition of this sort of work going back hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Really? We, you know, at least as old as written history, there have been tricksters and pulling tricks on others for political reasons.
Right.
Within recent history, well, in 1600 and something, Daniel Defoe wrote a pamphlet. Asserting on behalf of his enemies, who were the puritanical Protestants, that all the on behalf of his opponents that all the other people, all the opponents' opponents, should simply be executed rather than barred from public office. Like, his opponents were asking that a certain group of people be barred from public office. He asserted that they should be executed and signed it with the name of his opponents. And it was quickly revealed. It created a big stir in Parliament, in the UK Parliament, the English Parliament at the time. They debated the issue and it made them look like complete fools because it was fake. But it revealed, you know, how absurd it is, because people did actually come out in favor of executing these people.
Well, you know, it's truth is sometimes stranger than fiction, because now you've got people in Trump world suggesting that anyone who was involved in the Hillary's emails be executed. I mean, there was something about they need to be executed. And that's when my head just explodes. And I just can't. So when you're talking about absurdity, and the stunts that you pulled often bordered on that, but we could laugh at it. Now there's such a blurred line between what's absurd and what's real from that side, because to them, grass is blue, sky is green.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Truth is no longer truth. It's an allegiance. Like, your truth is, it's your mark of allegiance. It's like a flag. I see Obama's rally as smaller than Trump's.
And
that's because, you know, that's the sort of reality we have to deal with. And yeah, it didn't, like, honestly, in the 4 years of that last administration we had, it did not make sense to do our kind of work. And that may be one of the reasons we went kind of silent. We did actions in South Africa, in Belfast, and elsewhere. And we tried an action or two in the US. And as long as it didn't have anything to do with politics, it worked.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we did an oil action in Duluth that was quite successful and fun. But anytime we tried to go after the Trump administration, which was the only thing that was felt that pressing, immensely pressing, it failed because there was no way to compete with the absurdity. So, you know, any fiction we might invent was quickly outstripped by reality.
But you were doing this stuff in the background through the Yes Lab, and you were invited by a group of Ugandans to do an action at the COP26 at the climate festival in Copenhagen. This is how you've spread around the world, and so you did help them, and you had an action there, and now you've introduced the metalverse. And I love, you know, your logo looks a lot like the metaverse logo. I'm just saying, just a little similarity there. But you're helping others to meddle. You're teaching them to do actions like you're sharing the wealth. You're sharing the brain trust.
Yeah, I mean, we've basically come up with some very simple ways of helping, of working with organizations. We, you know, we're getting old. We don't want to. It's very intensive to do this work. Very intensive, and sometimes it's exhausting and disheartening if it doesn't work. And after 4 years of Trump, we're a little bit tired.
I hear you.
But we have found ways of working that are sustainable for us and that work for. We just did an action with a group of vegan activists who decided they wanted to go after Starbucks for charging extra for plant-based milk. And they had a new angle, and they approached us and said, what tricks can we do? Let's use some of your tricks to get Starbucks to cut out its plant-based milk surcharge, overcharge. And so we came up with a campaign together, a fake Starbucks announcement that they, you know, a whole video, a press release, very simply announcing that they would cut their surcharges because it amounted to dietary racism. And there was a whole new angle to it. Like, and it's accurate. I mean, the usual angle for this is that it's bad environmentally, bad ethically, bad for various reasons, but it's actually bad for most people in the world's health. It's only people of Northern European descent who generally tolerate milk. Only 15% of Northern European people have lactose intolerance, whereas overall in the rest of the world, it's 65 wow. to 100, depending on origin. And so it amounts to a surcharge for being not of Northern European origin. And so we approach it from that angle and put out this press release, put out a video, did a bunch of stuff, and it totally worked. Starbucks actually caved in the UK and removed the surcharge in the UK as a step, we hope, to doing so in the US. And I guess the point is that they did all the work.
Right.
All we Yes Men did was step in and coach them and say, well, you might want to do it this way. Oh, well, we did this one thing and it totally screwed up for this other reason that you might want to avoid. And basically gave them a little bits of advice and they carried it off. They had an excellent team. They were pretty fearless, though we did steer them towards legal advice at one point.
Uh-huh.
Sort of preemptive legal advice.
Well, you know, on the website, because we're getting close to the end of the hour, so I want to get the information out there. The website is theyesmen.org, and it's been retooled. So it's an archive, and you have a physical space now. Is that just through March?
Yeah, okay. That's an art show.
Looks very cool. I love it. I wish I was in New York. I'd come see it, but I'm in Florida, so I can't. But you have it all up on the website. It looks marvelous, and the website is there. But you show your hijinks from fake websites, talks, videos, behind the curtain photos, fake press releases. You've documented it all here, and now you're writing a book as well?
Yeah, that's going to be out in a little over a year. The art show is worth going if you're in New York.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful little art gallery named Carriage Trade that has really done a fantastic job of making this moving physical version of our website.
Right.
But yeah, the book is just going to be for people who want to have something in their hands. It's all on our website so far. Most of the material that will be in the book, so you can just get started right now. It's theyesmen.org. And on the front page, it directs you to the various resources within the website.
And the movies are up there, too. So if you were asleep during the last decade and didn't experience this stuff in real time, as some of us did, that's why I was so excited when I saw your emails. Like, they're back! Yes! Because we've missed this kind of activism. Politics has not been fun for the last 5 or so years, as you well know,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So we need this creativity infusion. And I love that you want to share the wealth, basically, to teach other people how to do it. My challenge to those listening who aren't familiar, or even if you are, watch these movies, because it may set off something. A light bulb is going to go off and you go, wow, we could do this. I mean, you did so many fun things that were flooding back to me as I was watching the film last night, but there's more. I mean, you also did something with the New York Times, with the New York Post, and with the Washington Post as well. You've done these things. You take on these personas, and you know, it was just wonderful. And I want to see more of that start to happen again, because that's a way to get the attention of the media and do it in a fun way. And it does have legs, because look, years later, I'm still cracking up over this stuff. And you're making a great point. Your work on climate change has been so important.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good humor is a good way to get points across. Fakery is a good way to get points across, not in political campaigns, but in issue campaigns around environmental social justice issues. It can be a great way, so long as you reveal the hoax afterwards. So we do that. And it makes people like you and me and everybody else laugh, which is a value in its own right.
You know, with the Chamber of Commerce, you were actually served. They were going to sue you. And as it turns out at the end, they dropped it. Which is what happens, right? You've not been sued or had any legal troubles with all these stunts in all the years?
No, I mean, just the Chamber of Commerce, but yeah. No, we've never really had a lawsuit that went to trial, and we've only had one lawsuit and they dropped it.
And as you explained, if they went through with it, you'd get to go through discovery. So that's what they don't want.
Exactly. Yeah.
Andy Biklebaum. Now, Mike Bonanno is in Scotland. Is he back living there again?
For the moment, yeah. He's back and forth. Scotland. Okay. And
how many kids now? How many kids now?
Oh, so many. Can't even count
he keeps
anymore.
Popping them out. Huh? All right.
The whole village. Scotland has villages.
There you go. I hear it takes a village.
Yes.
That's what I've heard. Andy Biklebaum, this has been a real treat. Again, since I got your email, I was so happy. And then it just, you know, it was coincidence, well, that yesterday was the anniversary of the Parkland shooting. And I made the connection. It's like, oh, my God, what Manuel Oliver is doing is so reminiscent of some of the best of the Yes Men stunts. And this is how you keep it going. You put out the seed and hopefully others will take advantage of your offer to help them and get involved this way and keep your brilliance going.
So thank you.
Please
thank you,
pass my thanks to Mike. Welcome back. I can't wait to hear what you're up to. Please keep me posted and come back on the show.
Will do.
Okay.
Anytime.
Thank you so much. It's really great to see you again and talk to you again. And thank you for keeping on.
And thank you.
All right.
You're doing very critical work.
Thank you so much. All right. We'll talk soon, I hope. Take care. Andy Biklebaum. Again, the website is theyesmen.org. You'll spend hours there just laughing for good cause. So, it's a win-win all the way around. All right. With that, we're done. Tomorrow, David Dayan is going to be here from the American Prospect. And so we're going to get serious and talk about supply chain and inflation and all that shit. But David Dayan always has great information. So we'll get schooled. All right. So with that, we're done. I'll leave you with the news and say thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Go watch the movies. I'm telling you, you'll laugh. And right now we could all use some laughs. All right. Have a good night, everyone. See you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Biden administration on Monday said it was shutting down its embassy in Kyiv as the U.S. and its allies warned that Russia could invade Ukraine within days. The U.S. believes Moscow has massed as many as 130,000 troops near the Ukraine border, with tens of thousands of them participating in military exercises in Belarus. Secretary of State Antony Blinken emphasized that the U.S. is continuing to work closely with Ukraine on what he called intensive diplomatic efforts to de-escalate the crisis. While Russia announcing Tuesday morning that some of their troops would return to base after completing recent drills, but stressed that other major military exercises would continue. For weeks, Moscow has steadily built its forces up around Ukraine with everything from submarines and ships in the Black Sea to ballistic missiles and tanks near the border, raising fears that an invasion is imminent. And although Russia has made some last-minute noises about possible openness to diplomatic de-escalation, officials are worried by Putin's erratic moves. Separately, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked the U.S. for sending his country $1 billion in financial aid, and he also thanked Canada for sending $500 million in financial aid. Speaking of Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has invoked the Emergencies Act for the first time to address the impact of these continued protests across the country over COVID-19 mitigation measures. The Emergency Act can provide the use of military, but may not necessarily lead to that. It can also temporarily suspend citizens' rights to free movement or assembly. The Canadian government is going after those who financially support these groups by freezing personal and corporate accounts believed to be funding the protests. It got to this point after the Ambassador Bridge, that's North America's busiest land border crossing, reopened after that blockade was cleared and Ontario announced plans to loosen pandemic restrictions. Uh-oh, trouble for the Trumps. The former guy's longtime accounting firm informed the Trump Organization last week that it should no longer rely on nearly 10 years' worth of financial statements. What? In a February 9th letter to the Trump Organization, the accounting firm, Mazars USA, said it could no longer stand by financial statements it prepared for Trump based on information he and his company provided. In the letter, Mazars said the Trump Organization should retract the documents from 2011 through 2020. A Trump Organization spokesperson responded to the firm, expressing disappointment at the split, and also suggested that Mazars perform their work, quote, in accordance with all applicable accounting standards and principles, without any discrepancies. Sure. Finally, we were this close to a solution for our Postal Service woes. Sweeping legislation to overhaul the U.S. Postal Service's finances was set to pretty much sail through the Senate on Monday, until a Florida man got involved. This time, it's Florida Senator Rick Scott. He is also the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. He objected to a unanimous consent request to make a technical fix to this bipartisan bill. The measure would overhaul the Postal Service's finances. Scott, however, argued that the Senate should slow down and work to, quote, improve issues with the legislation. So the Senate wasn't able to advance the bill on Monday. Despite the delay, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says they will eventually pass it soon. Sure. Just note, Congress goes on recess again next week. Bad news for the former governor of Alaska. A federal judge on Monday said he would dismiss her 2008 libel lawsuit against the New York Times. Palin accused the Times and former editorial page editor James Bennett of defaming her in a 2017 editorial by incorrectly linking her to the deadly mass shooting that left then Congresswoman Gabby Giffords severely wounded. U.S. District Court Judge Jed Rakoff in Manhattan dismissed the suit, finding that the Times made a, quote, very unfortunate error, but that Palin failed to show that the newspaper acted with actual malice. That's the standard for libel cases involving public figures. Rakoff said he would issue his ruling after the jury finishes deliberating so that an appeals court would know the jury's decision as well as his own. In other court action on Monday, prosecutors in the hate crime trial of the three white men convicted of murdering black jogger Ahmaud Arbery pointed to their racist comments and use of the N-word in text messages to assert that the crime was racially motivated. Defense attorneys said that the three men chased down Arbery as he ran through their Georgia neighborhood because of their, quote, honest, though erroneous suspicion that he was behind recent robberies in the area. Oh, please. High drama unfolding at the Olympics Tuesday morning, where the 15-year-old Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva is allowed to skate after it was learned that she tested positive for a banned substance. Critics are screaming hypocrisy that Valieva is allowed to compete, but sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson was banned from competing after she tested positive for cannabis months ago. Wonder what the difference is between those two skaters. And finally, Monday marked the fourth anniversary of the mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Manuel Oliver is the father of Joaquin Guac Oliver. He's one of the 17 people who were killed on February 14th, 2018. He spent his Monday protesting on top of a construction crane in Washington, D.C. He tweeted a message, complete with a video from up on high, overlooking the White House, where he unfurled a banner that read, 45,000 people died from gun violence on your watch. Oliver and his wife Patricia are calling on Biden to pledge substantial reform to curb gun violence during his State of the Union address, which is slated for March 1st. Oliver claimed that he asked for a meeting with Joe Biden about a month ago and has not heard anything back. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.